and welcome to the third episode of the Pathways Podcast, curated for the 24th World Petroleum Congress, which will take place in Calgary, Canada, September 17th through the 21st. My name is Heidi Lynn Balash, and I'm the chair of the subcommittee for the Women in Industry program of the Congress. Today's topic of our conversation is women in energy. Women are an important part for the continued growth and sustainability in our industry. We know that fostering and supporting gender diversity, inclusion, and equity leads to better decision-making, increased innovation, and economic advancement, benefiting not only this sector, but society as a whole. In the Congress, we have an exciting Women in Industry program. We will start the week by kicking off with a Women in Industry breakfast, followed by 3 days of speakers and panelists covering a wide variety of perspectives and topics in our space in the Sustainability and Social Responsibility Pavilion. One of the highlights is sure to include the BCG WPC survey on diversity, equity, and inclusion. It is the only reoccurring global study of its kind in the energy industry. Something we are also looking forward to is the WPC Excellence Award. And this year we have a new category. It is to recognize gender and inclusion in the energy sector. It recognizes an organization that has gone above and beyond to model effective diversity. So with that, speaking of role models, I would like to introduce our guests for today's podcast. We have with us today Whitney Hughes Plummer, Catherine Sinix, and Anamika Mukherjee. Okay, our first question will go to Whitney. The WPC and BCG have teamed up to find out the state of women in the energy industry. The report called Untapped Reserves was the first unveiled at the Congress in Turkey in 2017. And now with the third survey being unveiled in Calgary this September, can you give us an overview of what the report entails and if we're hoping to see a big shift from the last two editions?
Sure. Thanks so much, Heidi. Hi, everyone. I'm Whitney Hughes Plummer. Like Heidi said, I'm a partner with BCG in the Calgary office, and I'm very excited to be here today. So thank you. The Untapped Reserves Report is a partnership between BCG and the WPC, which is really focused on understanding the state of diversity, equity, and inclusion in the energy industry. Based on our research, we know that female representation in the energy industry really lags that of other major industries. It's about 22% in energy compared to much higher in many other industries. And we know that the percentage of women drops at higher levels of seniority. So it's really critical that we measure and encourage the progress of diversity in the industry in order to recruit, retain, and advance women. It's also really critical that we understand what types of programs and policies help to support diversity. And this is really what the report aims at. From the last reports, we know that oil and gas companies really need to take action on three levels. One is a commitment from the top with visible leadership and clear accountability for meeting DE&I targets. Two is having an active operating model and interventions to really attract, retain, and advance women. And then three is implementing foundational policies and programs, like, for instance, flexible working models, equal pay, and anti-discrimination policies. So to answer your question, Heidi, in terms of what we're hoping to see this year, it really does come down to seeing what type of progress the industry is making. Based on our last reports, we know that from 2017 to 2020, when we released those two versions of the report, the percentage of women in the oil and gas industry actually remained about the same, which was kind of disappointing. But we do know that the number of DE&I policies and programs that were introduced by companies really increased. It was up by about 50% since 2017. So we're really hoping that this year we start to see the impact of these policies and programs in terms of the overall representation in the industry, as well as the advancement of women into more senior roles. We're especially excited about this year for a number of reasons about this report. So like I said in the past, the report has really been focused on gender diversity in oil and gas. But this year we've really broadened the report and are opening it up to include measure other elements of diversity, as well as other sectors in the industry. In the energy industry, like power and utilities and new energies. The other interesting thing I think about this year is that we're really going to be able to understand the full impact of the pandemic. So when we did the report in 2020, we were into the pandemic, but we weren't really understanding the full impact of the pandemic and what changed in terms of a diversity in the industry. So I think it's going to be, it's pretty exciting this year, and that we're going to be able to measure a lot more about DE&I in the industry, but then also specifically the outcomes of the pandemic and how it impacted DE&I.
Super interesting stuff. Can't wait to hear all about it when the report is released and socialize it more at the Congress. Thanks so much, Whitney. Moving on to our next guest, Catherine. Canada's role in the energy transition and its ability to offer lower emission fuel to the globe is profound. We are going to need the best and the brightest to solve these big challenges, not just 50% of the best and brightest, which means we need to attract and retain women more than ever. What can we do to make the energy industry a more attractive place for women to thrive?
Thanks for the question, Heidi Lynn. My name is Catherine Sinnix, and I'm the National Leadership Program Director for the Canadian Centre of Women in Science, Engineering, Trades, and Technology, also known as WINSET. Years ago, a more experienced colleague shared a story with me that I want to share with you today. She told me that in one of her performance reviews, her supervisor told her he was extremely happy with her because she was just every bit as good as the men at 70 cents on the dollar. She also shared that at the time, that didn't really stand out to her. It was only after processing it for a decade that she recognized what was wrong with that. Gone are the days when women are satisfied just to have access to these workplaces. The expectation really has changed. Women are now looking for places where they can realize their professional goals and see that progression. We've talked in the past about how women need to see it to be it. And I think it's actually a little more nuanced than that. I think women do recognize that it may not be visible right now, but they do need to believe it. They need to believe that that career progression is possible. They need to believe that they can recognize their goals. Once they stop believing it, that's really when the retention battle is lost. And when they do leave, they don't shuffle off under some rock somewhere. They go on to thrive in other spaces, which should tell us something. The good news is that if we start to address issues like this, it will feed a virtuous cycle, where not only will you retain women, but that will also serve to attract new women into your spaces. I invite you to register for one or all of our sessions at the World Petroleum Congress and to visit us at winset.ca. Thanks, Heidi Lynn.
Thanks, Catherine. Super interesting, and I'm really looking forward to attending one of your sessions at the Congress. See you there. Okay, Annemieke, over to you. You have 20 years experience in the energy sector and recently moved into venture capital. You're a partner at BDC Capital, and your role primarily has you enabling entrepreneurs with bold ideas to lead global companies. Now, from an industry perspective, how is the energy market changing for women? What are some of the barriers and how are women getting around them?
Thanks, Heidi, and thanks for having me on the podcast. You know, in the first half of my career, I want to say representation was very balanced. There were just as many women as there were men. And in a quantity, in an environment where performance can be identified or understood quantitatively, it was easy to progress. So I was working as an engineer. You were either a really good engineer or you were not. If you were a good engineer, you would get the cool projects, you would move ahead, you would be called upon to do challenging tasks, and you would progress, whether that was promotions or compensation. So that was really cool because my colleagues and I, male and female, we would talk about changing the world. We were all going to be CEOs in, you know, 5 years or so. That started to change when I moved into more strategic and leadership types of roles. And all of a sudden, performance became something of a reflection of perception, as in how others see you. Credibility, are you creating credibility and trust amongst your peers, amongst stakeholders, and so on, and really about company culture. And so this is where I find women have the most significant barriers in the energy industry. And I actually, I'm not just making this up, Harvard Kennedy School Women and Public Policy Program did a study in 2020 where they found that women are more likely to experience and be aware of workplace barriers to seeking leadership positions, especially in male-dominated contexts. As such, women start to feel they have less power, and because of it, women will typically opt out instead of staying in and pushing on further. And we heard Whitney and Catherine talk about this a little bit, touch on this, but what it comes down to is, in my opinion, programming. Women are programmed very different than men culturally. Doesn't matter what culture you come from globally. And we all at some point in our lives have heard of the infamous Harvard study where two groups, equal numbers of men and women, were put into two separate rooms, given the same case study. The only difference was one group was told the subject of the study was male, and the other one was told the subject of the study was female. And this was a leadership study. The group that thought the subject was male came back and said, exceptional leadership qualities. This is how leadership is done. The group that got the study thinking it was a female leader came back and said she was cold, she lacked empathy, and as such was not a good leader. So when I talk about programming, that's what I mean. And it's two-part, right? Women are resilient. Women want to make a difference. They want to have an impact. And if they can't find one path to have an impact, like Catherine said, they don't crawl under a rock, they're going to find another way to have an impact. And so today, what I'm observing is, and myself included, if women get stuck in a one position on their path to having the impact they want to have, they will find another way to do it, which is really encouraging for the waves of women coming up behind us. But that by no way is to discount the fact that barriers still exist. There's still a sponsorship challenge of women just by way of how we show up. And unless more people, you know, you can have all the targets in the world, you can have all the affirmative actions in the world, but it has to be organic, performance has to be merit-based, and unless men and women step up and sponsor the next wave of women, talented, performance-driven, impact-driven women, the barriers don't go away. And so what I'm seeing some change in is I've had a lot of mentors and coaches who are men and women, and I want to see more of that come through the pipes, and I'm aspiring to be doing more of that. And I hope all of you women on this call, on this podcast, are going to do more of the same. But I think that the world is changing. It's slow, and it has to happen more.
Thanks so much, Annamika. And that actually is a great segue into my closing comments for today. It was really good to have three very accomplished and intelligent women give their thoughts and perspectives in this podcast today. And I want to remind everyone that change is coming, and to recognize that change, the WPC has created a new award this year. And it's to highlight and to reward an organization that has gone above and beyond to role model effective diversity. So this is an exciting award, and I'd really encourage everyone to think about people and organizations who are working really hard in this area, and submit your application or applications by April 7th of this year. For more information, please visit our website, www.24wpc.com, Women in Industry, and you can learn all about it and all about what's going on at the Congress for women in industry, diversity, equity, and inclusion. So that's all we have time for today. I'm going to sign off, and please stay tuned for the next episode. Thanks so much.